Se tu vuoi la gioia, non vivere nei problemi, né solo per te stesso, vivi nell'amor. Nessuno può volare se non sa donare, dimentica te stesso e apri il cuore. Se tu vuoi la gioia,
non vivere nella guerra, i tuoi fratelli,
perché non l'amor, chi cerca i valori sono transitori, cercherà per sempre col vuoto nel cuore. Se tu vuoi la gioia,
rinuncia al potere, non sogna la fama,
ma cerca l'amor. Fama e potere godere, il seme della gioia si pianta nel cuore. Così se vuoi la gioia, vivi nel presente, centrato in te stesso e cerca l'amor. Felice tu sarai, più libero vivrai, quando senti Dio che vive nel cuore. Sarai più libero, vivrai quando senti Dio e vive nel cuore.
May we share. Welcome, brothers and sisters. My name is Nayaswami Ananta, Nayaswami Kirtani, Nayaswami Dhyana. We're going to talk a little bit about how the vision of Ananda and Master and World Brotherhood colonies went across the United States, Europe, India. The vision of Ananda always was going across the United States because Swami Kriyananda understood what Master's assignment was. And so Swami Kriyananda was constantly going out, teaching, sharing, speaking at conferences, writing books, lectures, music. And as we were talking yesterday, we had our little World Brotherhood colony here, and we were very intent on seeking God. I don't think the illusion entered our minds very much that we would get to stay here seeking God as a little group in North San Juan. I think that was pretty much dispelled before it could even hatch, because Master had given Swami Kriyananda a mission, and we, as Swami's children, were on for the mission and up for the mission and ready. And so we knew that eventually and inevitably he would ask us to share the teachings. We were very happy meditating in our little teepees and 14-foot trailers and talking about God and thinking about God, chanting Hare Krishna, chanting Hare Guru, feeling the presence of Master, trying to bring Master into our work, into our relationships. Things were going very well. But Swami kept going to Europe and India, and we cognized that eventually we would go. He would take Jyotish and Devi, and he would take various people, and they would go on a world tour, and they'd come back, and they'd tell us about the spread of Kriya Yoga around the world. It was very inspiring. And we had meditation groups, but then one day in 1977, Swami Kriyananda asked two brahmacharis, Brahmachari Haridas and Vijay, to go to Sacramento, California, and begin the World Brotherhood colonies in the urban USA. And we were very glad that he asked them and not us. Very great blessing. I was a monk in 1977, and I happened to be there in Ayodhya, which is by the Crystal Hermitage. At that point, the Crystal Hermitage was Swami Kriyananda's dome, and there was an army tent, green army tent, set up right below the dome, and that's where the monks meditated. And we meditated, and we did prosperity affirmations, and we read the poem Samadhi, and we tried to visualize ourselves in Samadhi, and we prayed together. And then one day, Haridas was going to go to Sacramento with Vijay and bring the teachings of Kriya Yoga to Sacramento. And I happened to get a ride from Haridas that day. It was very unusual because I was usually at work, but Haridas was leaving early. He had a great work to do, and Master would give him the strength to do it. And Haridas at that point was driving St. Therese. St. Therese was a long Plymouth. One problem with St. Therese was she didn't have a driver's side window. And so Haridas would put a black garbage bag over the window every evening during the rainy season, which is November to May. And he was going off now, and he said, I'll give you a ride. We went down Sages Road, and I got in with him. And St. Therese did not have a heater, as I remember. And Haridas had a blue knit cap and a big brown jacket. And I looked, and first of all, we were in total awe of this step in Ananda's development. We had a mixed feeling in our hearts, because on one level, we understood the gravity of Kriya Yoga going to America through the teachings. We understood that Paramahansa Yogananda was a prem avatar. This was serious business. We understood Swami Kriyananda was the most erudite and eloquent representative of Paramahansa Yogananda, and that we were charged with spreading that mission. There was that level of gravity and understanding in our hearts. And then there was Saint Therese. And there was mud on the underbody because the roads were all muddy, and there was a dichotomy there. And we had total faith in Haridas and Vijay. We deeply respected them, and we knew they would represent the teachings of Swamiji to the West. But I have to say that in my mind, I was like, wow, this is going to be interesting. We went down, and I got out of the car at the farm and went to work. And there were four people in that car, Haridas and Vijay and me and Paramahansa Yogananda. Because the vibration of the guru was going to carry the day. We knew that, Haridas and Vijay knew that, Jyotish and Devi knew that, Swami Kriyananda knew that. And we began the spread of the teachings in America with that understanding. We were not going to do it. The guru was going to do it. He was going to do it through us, and our job was to be receptive, energetic channels for that love, for that consciousness. We understood that. Haridas and Vijay went to Sacramento. Seva, who was in charge of finances for this beautiful village, gave them $500. And she said, boys, this is all you're getting. Don't come back for more. This is it. So the stage was set. A miracle was needed. But the fact was, we had complete faith in the guru. We knew that miracles had sustained us this far. It had sustained us through the fire, the rebuilding, which was really just beginning. That Master would do it. God is the doer. That was the point. And Haridas and Vijay went to Sacramento, and they rented a one-story ranch-style house on a nondescript street in a nondescript part of a unincorporated Sacramento County. And they founded what Haridas named the Garage of the Eternal Religion. It was a two-car garage. So it began. There was a washer-dryer in the back of the Garage of the Eternal Religion. And it was agreed that during meditation and Sunday service, the washer-dryer should be off. I remember a house meeting we had after Sunday service. I was one of the visiting ministers at 26 years old, and the two pastors were about 26 years old. I remember a house meeting in which Nayaswami Uma, who was from Britain and has a degree of class and refinement, but she suggested that during the Sunday service, the white enamel washer and dryer should be covered with an Indian bedspread. And that was agreed upon, yes. That would be good for the spread of Kriya Yoga in the West. It was unanimously approved. There was this dichotomy because we wanted to express, we would have loved to have a temple of light. We had no money. Haridas and Vijay had no money. None of us had any money. But we did have the guru. We had love of the guru and faith in the guru. And we had the truth, tat tvam asi, thou art that. We understood that. And we had fun. We had a light time. We had to. But we knew that this was serious business because we had to bring all of you to Master, and we did not take that lightly. Swami Kriyananda did not ask them to go because they needed a job. He asked them to go because they were representatives of the Ray, of the Masters, and we understood that, and that was our work. And so we offered yoga postures classes and meditation classes, classes in Raja Yoga, classes which the depth was unequaled in the world. We had the Bhagavad Gita, we had Babaji Krishna, we had Master's interpretation, and we had all the gold in the world in that wealth. And we shared it with our brothers and sisters. And an interesting thing happened. Who would come to Sunday service in the garage of the Eternal Religion? Who would feel the vibration of the Masters above the outward trappings of American religion? A select group of disciples whose heart was attuned to the Guru. And that's who the Sangha began to be. It was a congregation of deep souls. They were beautiful. And they came into our garage, and we had the Sunday service, and then we offered yoga postures classes, and they built this work. And you are all of them. You came, and they were doctors and lawyers and teachers and nurses. They were older people and younger people. They were white, black, red, brown. They were all welcome. And they understood Master's vibration. And so the congregation and the work, San Francisco, Atherton is near Palo Alto, Stockton, California, eventually to Oregon, Washington. It grew based on the vibration of the Master, and Master did the building. We were there, we came in, we did what we could. Sometimes we'd rent a big house. In Atherton, we rent a big, big house, and we gave Sunday service in the living room. In San Francisco, we rented a 23-room mansion in Pacific Heights, and we gave Sunday service in the living room at first. Then we would rent storefronts and teach yoga because of parking regulations. And a whole aura of American law and regulation and culture became part of our work. We didn't have that here at the village. We didn't have televisions. We didn't know what the pop culture was. And when we went out to share Master's teachings, we found out about it. And we tried to integrate and influence Master's teachings to our brothers and sisters and offer them what they could. It was definitely a buffet. Because we were committed. We were meditating, doing Kriya Yoga morning and evening, and meditating long hours. And they were just feeling that love of the Guru and trying to dip their toes in the water and see, how does this feel? What would this be like? And we were offering to them whatever they wanted. You want meditation for stress reduction? We'll give it to you. Do you want Hatha Yoga to get over your back pain or lose weight? We'll give it to you. But we were always giving them God, 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 through whatever we could. And Swamiji was pleased. And the way he was pleased, he would make suggestions if we needed to, but he would bless us. And it spread. We started businesses. We found out about zoning laws and occupancy laws. And we started bookstores. And we started builders guilds, restaurants. Whatever we could. Swamiji had given us, in the early years of Ananda, a blow-by-blow description of how to help people and the things to consider. And we would use that. But sometimes when he sent Maria and I to Sacramento, which was 9 years later, he gave us 4 words to run the center. Teach from your heart. 23 years. That's like 6 years per word. He was efficient. And that's what we did. And we all worked together. And we knew that eventually Colorado, Maine, Texas, Austin, Houston, Dallas, York, Maine, Rhode Island. But it was bringing God, or more perfectly, it was letting Master bring God to America. There were some reversals. We had to tone down our presentation, but not our practice. We had to intensify our practice because we were suddenly the emissaries of Swami Kriyananda, and we were his connection to a congregation of hundreds of people. We had to perform the funerals for the 16-year-old children who died in car accidents, and we had to comfort the mothers, and helicopter crashes for the U.S. Army. We had to give funerals and baptisms, marriages. We had to teach classes. I taught how to meditate in the public school. I didn't say God once. 3 weeks. That's amazing, isn't it? I could barely get through a sentence without talking about God. I did it. I did it for Master. And the settings were varied. The cities were unusual. We found ourselves in very strange positions in urban America. And Master's vibration spread. And all of you came. Prem Avatar, Paramahansa Yogananda, divine love. That was the tool we had. And we realized more and more that God is doing everything through us. We're doing nothing. We just are instruments for his love. And that's the only way that we could go through America. America's spirituality is not on the surface, and increasingly it's less on the surface for now. But eventually, it will come out. I perceive potential saints waiting in America, remember? Babaji said that. He sent us to America and to California and Los Angeles and then throughout the country with one gift of love and discipleship. And the greatest teacher on this in this country, Swami Kriyananda. And he had given us, as we went along the work, the words of Swami Kriyananda from those satsangs in the Crystal Hermitage would ring. What do I say to him? What should I say? And Swami's words would be there. This is what you say. Sometimes we would call him. We would always call each other. We would always talk. All people in the colonies would talk to each other. Jyotish, Devi, what do we say? Asha, Shivani, what do we say? Diana, what am I supposed to say? What do I do? Have you ever had this position? But it was real life to our friends. It was a dream to us. But sometimes it's hard to see that it's a dream. When your friends are dying in the hospital, which many of my friends did, and we were blessing them and doing the astral ascension ceremonies, it was hard. It was hard to see the little kids. It was hard to spend time in divorce court, criminal court, probation officers. It was hard to go with people to talk to specialists to say you have 30 days to live in this body. It was hard. But Swami Kriyananda did that for us all the time. And so we had to not let him down. We would not let him down. In the autobiography in the last chapter, Master said, I determined not to let Babaji and Sri Yukteswar down when I went to America. We read those words, and we repeated those words. And we knew that Master was doing it. And this temple, and the temple in Bothell, where we build the temple, and in Palo Alto and Sacramento, where God gives us the mandir, and we just have to buy it, and in Los Angeles, where we're waiting for the next facility, it's all God. It takes all the pressure off of us. There's nothing that we can do except be in tune with the Guru, love the Guru, serve the Guru, and see every human being that you meet as a child of the guru. That was the way that America understood. You may have noticed there's more work to do in America. Kirtani will talk about Europe. I don't know about Europe and India. But you may have seen, those of you who are not from the U.S., there's a thing called a MAGA hat, M-A-G-A. Make America God Conscious Again.
I never thought about in America with Americans having to deal with American bureaucracy. I thought we were new at that game, having to deal with it in Europe. Most of you know St. Francis. You know that he had a life of ease. His father was wealthy, and then he had a transforming experience, and he was dedicating his life to God. And he was kneeling down in front of the cross in San Damiano with Jesus on the cross. And he was asking, Lord, what would you have me do? Because it was totally new to him. He didn't know how to live this life for God. Swamiji did this. He knew as much as he learned in the time with Master before Master left his body. And he knew that he wanted to ask Master in every moment, in every situation, with every decision, Master, what would you have me do? And this is how he came to Italy. Because it wasn't always, as I think it was Shivani was talking about, the skylight, that Master came with a voice saying, don't forget the skylight if you need inspiration about the Bhagavad Gita that you don't have access to. Didn't always come with a voice like St. Francis heard from Jesus, but Swamiji listened and perceived Master and God in everyone, and so often the decision to do something came through a request from somewhere and someone. So he had been getting requests for some time from people in Europe, in Germany, in Italy, possibly in Holland and England, who knew what he was doing, helping to produce here with the community of Ananda, and they wanted it in Europe because they felt so alone. There were not that many people where they lived who were really living these teachings, and they had received lessons, and they had read Swami's book, and they had read the autobiography, and they wanted to live these teachings, just like each one of us wanted to do. And so when an invitation came from Findhorn to Swamiji to participate in what was called a One World Conference. I'm not going to talk a lot about what that was, but Swamiji saw that as an opportunity, yes, to go to Europe, to go to Findhorn, a community also spiritually based, and share the light. But what he also saw it as was an opportunity to do a tour through Europe and try to understand if Ananda in Europe, where. So we were driving, he got a car, we were driving through Europe. And in Holland, he spoke in English and was translated, and it was so inspiring. You could tell people sitting in the audience just hanging on every word. If it was translated into Dutch that they were hearing, they waited for that and then responded. But many of them understood English in Holland. In Germany, I can remember Swamiji was sharing the light, and I can remember after one of his talks in a fairly large hall in Germany. He was standing outside talking to people, and he was talking with a father whose little girl came up and grabbed her father's hand and said, "Daddy, Daddy, did you see all the light around Swamiji?" This was like a 5 or 6 year old. She was just so small and perhaps more perceptive because of that, but she saw Swamiji bathed in light. And he was sharing it through words, through his music. And one of the things that we did on this, which was happening also in America, I'm sure, was that Swami knew that, as we all do, pictures are so much more, they're worth 1,000 words, as they say. And so we brought a slideshow along. And I was just talking with Peru the other day, and he said, "I remember thinking that it was so important that it wasn't just Swamiji up there speaking, because through the pictures and the slideshows and all of what was Ananda at that time, which is a lot less than it is now, not spiritually, but it was just smaller, but the smiling, laughing, joy-filled faces, the families, all of what people could see in those photos was so magnetic in informing them that this was something also for them, that it wasn't just for people who had no family responsibilities, people who, you know, had lots of time to meditate. It was for everyone. And those slides were extremely important for conveying the light in a very practical, down-to-earth way. So we were in Germany, we were in Austria, we met a lot of people who have ended up with Ananda, either here or in Europe. Jan Darshan, who's with us now, when we ended up in, he was in Holland, and so he met Swamiji and was very moved and touched by Swami. And so we arrive in Italy, and you could feel immediately a change in Swamiji. You could see as he was speaking with the audiences that he was so much more able to express from his heart, because he could feel their hearts. And Mahia said it yesterday for those of you that were here, and I could feel all of you responding to the choir singing in Italian and singing from their hearts. It is a heart country. And so Swamiji was speaking in yoga halls. The person who ended up offering her villa for Ananta to come to Italy was in one of the yoga groups in Milan. He touched so many people, speaking in English because he didn't know Italian, but finding it more and more difficult, because he would find, because Italians at that time did not understand a lot of English. They do much more now. And so he would be speaking, and you know Swamiji, he shared a lot of humor, as Ananta just did with us, following in Swami's footsteps. And he would tell a funny story, a joke. Those who understood English laughed, you know, big laughter. And then it was translated, and nobody laughed. And Swami thought, this just doesn't work. So it wasn't until Rome, where, because it really wasn't working, Swami could feel people weren't, you know, they weren't getting it all. He just decided, I have to speak Italian. I just have to speak Italian. So he began, at least had the last half of that talk, he gave in Italian. And the people responded. You know, they began laughing at the jokes, and they were very much with him. At the end of the talk, as always, people crowded around. People wanted to say hello. They wanted to have a personal connection with Swami. And after most of the crowd went away, I said, "Swami, it was wonderful that you spoke Italian with this group. And it was wonderful that I could understand 80% of it." And he said, "That's because it was 80% Spanish."
Thank you.
Swami was very fluent in Spanish and French and German, maybe not so much, but Italian he did not know. But he knew Spanish, and it's close enough that the Italians understood. They understood him. And I, who knew Spanish, understood because it was 80% Spanish. From that point on, Swamiji just spoke Italian. And he was a language expert, so he absorbed it and picked it up very, very quickly. At the end of this tour, Purushottam and I were together again at that time, so we were the last ones to see Swami off. And he was talking, he wanted to talk about, and I just so remember it reminds me of the monks sitting there, hearing that Swamiji was wanting to send somebody to Sacramento. Because of course, at this point, we talked about the fact that Italy was really the place for Master's teachings, for this light, for the love and bliss of the teachings of this path to be received, because the Italians were so open-hearted, they could receive it. And so, you know, that was clear. Somebody was coming back to Italy. And so Swami just said, I wonder who could come. We were the only ones there. And I hate to say it, but we did not jump up and say, I will. But when Swamiji asked us to go to Italy, we said yes with all our hearts. And so we came back and then ended up going back to Italy. We moved there in, you know, two great big boxes that I think they came on the flight. Maybe we shipped them anyway. It was a move. I thought we were going to Italy to stay at least for 5 years, you know, that it would take that long to really help to get the work going there. So we're in Italy, in Rome. One of the reasons we were there was that there was an apartment offered by one of the devotees, and Swami had bought a car. So we had an apartment to live in, we had a car, and we too were in the situation. Swami started us out with a little beginning with some money to start out on. But we had to make it. We had to create the magnetism that would draw people to come, to pay for the classes, to also donate, to buy the books, to buy the music, all of those things that would give us a little bit of a regular income. I can remember one point where we didn't know for sure if we were going to have money to eat the next day. We had a little bit of money. And so we were talking about the fact, you know, what are we going to do? I learned so much from Puro in this year. He said, let's go to the movies. We had never been to an Italian movie, so it was a wonderful idea. But we had just enough money for the movie, and then what was going to happen? And he was so absolutely convinced that we were in Master's hands, we were in God's hands, that they wanted us also to have fun, which was a part of Swami's message to us in Italy. And so we went to a movie. We went to a, not Star Wars, what was the one before? The Star Trek. It was one of the early Star Trek movies. And pretty much all we could understand was, si, senor, senor, si. But it was a good way to absorb ourselves in the language. And the next day, one older woman came, and we were pretty much always there because we never knew when someone would show up, and we had the books out and the tapes out. And she came, and she bought a copy of every book, and she gave a little donation, and it was enough to see us through to the end of the month. Totally unexpected. We had no appointment to see her. But we were in Master's hands, we were in God's hands and Swami's hands. And so there was an energy building, But we were not, it was clear that Italy was not yet ready for community. Every time that we talked about visiting a place up north and maybe finding a place for the community there, the people from Milan and Torino, and they were really happy. And yes, you know, we'll be there, we'll participate. We might not live there, but we'll be there to participate. And if we talked about having something outside of Rome or more towards the south, and the people in Rome and south, they were really eager and they said, yes, come and stay here, because but they would not go to the other part of the country. So we came back because there was a need here. There was a lot of expansion happening, and so we came back, and there was a gap. And then, again, these pleas from those who were so wanting to have Ananda in Europe. And at, was it 83? In 1983, 84, Dhyana, Jyotish, Devi, Ram, and a few others went with Swamiji to Italy because Alessandra Rombolotti, one of the ones who was really wanting Ananda to come, offered their family villa for a beginning. And it was big. It was big enough, really big enough for a beginning. It had, well, it had, I don't know how many actual bedrooms, but we created a lot of bedrooms. And those people in the beginning were the ones who really did the tapasya for it, especially that phase of the work in Europe. Because we were talking yesterday at the table, there was, the villa was for the summer. It was a summer villa. It really didn't have heat. And so they were there through the winter and the snow, and it was cold. And even after I arrived, which was in March of 85, it was still cold. And as Davey was saying at the table, our meetings all took cover, I think you said this, all took place under the cover of the fat down-filled duvets, because that was the only way to stay warm enough to keep our brains functioning so that we could have a functioning meeting. It was a wonderful place, and you saw some photos, those of you who were at the presentation yesterday, of those times. It was joyful. It was absolutely heart-opening and an opportunity to really begin to understand what it meant to create the Ananda presence in a foreign country. And so I want to just share a few things about what happens with the culture thing, because of course you're going to hear about it probably from Dhyana, about also the Indian work, where she may go a totally different direction. It was interesting to work with at least three languages, because most of us were English speaking. The Italians in Italy and the Germans, and coming down from Austria, Germany, and Switzerland, who spoke German. And so the language was one of the first things we just had to deal with. When you're speaking, you give time to the translator. Thank you, translators. We are so grateful for the booth and for the fact that you can simultaneously translate. And even working together, being able to understand each other. And since I had some experience in Italy, I'd spent a year in Italy and was fairly fluent, when the phone rang, everyone went away from it and I answered. Because it's not easy to, especially to understand Italians on the phone, because they speak really fast and you can't. When I first started doing that in Rome, my first phrase that I learned was, "Per favore, parla più piano." Some of you understand that. Please speak more slowly. So we were offering classes, courses, and in many languages. We were feeding people because people could come and stay there. And you know, the groups were small to begin with. Whenever Swami came, which he did during the time I was there, it was
really crowded, and then we were really out of space. But it didn't take long to outgrow. Sorry, my English isn't always to outgrow the size. We needed a bit more space. Plus, Swamiji said, the Northern Italians are a little more, they're more traveled, they're more, they will travel more to the middle of the country. Whereas those that are in the middle of the country in South, they will not come to the North for this message. So it's time to look for a place that will be more central, and there's nothing more central in Italy than Assisi. You know, it's in the heart from east to west, it's in the heart from north to south, and so we began to look in Assisi. Another reason that we looked there was that Master had been to Assisi on his trip from America to India, back to India, and he talked about walking the hills around Assisi with holding on to Christ and St. Francis's hands. And so there was an experience of the spirituality that is there that was also important for the work that we would be doing. So we found a place, and interestingly, Master led us to a place that was not in Assisi, which was our first choice to be in that vibration of St. Francis. And so he led us to a place that was just over the border from what is the comune, the county of Assisi, to a place that had there were three borders of counties, not including Assisi. So there was Nocera Umbra, there was Qualdottadino, and Valfabbrica. And the property that we bought was in all three of those. Not the property, but the places that we then rented in order to have places for our people to stay were in all of those counties. We think that that was a blessing, even though it seems crazy to have to think of the bureaucracy of three different counties. Because we slowly began to be recognized and to be seen as a really positive influence on the economy of the areas, they were all happy to have us there. And so I think many things were able to happen because of that. We arrived there, we bought a property that was a hotel, And we rented some big farmhouses. One of those farmhouses was a center for a hunting group. And every hunting season, which was brief, thank God, they would be in that house and we had to leave. So we had to leave the public part of the house, the part that was the kitchen, the dining room, the living room, those areas. So in one place, in the hotel, we had a small room, but it was the largest room other than the dining room, and it was the former bar. In the other place, which was a house where we could rent the rooms, and where the hunters were in rooms that for 3 months of the year were a hunting center, where people were killing animals and cooking them and barbecuing them and all of that. So there was some energy to overcome. And we did. But the end story of that is that those places were very short in the amount of time that they were big enough for us to use as a temple. And so we had to build a temple. And this was something we really wanted to do. It was definitely needed. And so we had a little sketch done by Maya Davies' brother, who was an architect, and it was a sort of St. Francis kind of chapel. It was very simple. It was probably about as big as from the back here to the maybe second row there, and the distance from the stage there to the wall. And it would have been an upgrade. And we were happy with that until an architect, a Swiss architect, who had heard about Ananda, had been at Ananda, and he knew we wanted to build a temple. He came and he said, I had a dream about your temple, and I've drawn what I feel it's supposed to be. And we looked at that drawing, and there was no question. There was no question that that was our temple of light. It was bigger, much more beautiful. It would draw thousands of people, not all at once, but thousands of people to come and meditate in, it was the beginning of this temple, the Temple of Light in Assisi. And it was with Arjuna's work with the builders and Shivani's work with fundraising, it went amazingly fast for Italy. And they were all shocked. We worked through the winter when it wasn't just freezing cold and too cold, because usually the projects in Italy, when the cold weather comes, they stop. And so you just wait until spring. But Arjuna was very good at keeping people happy about creating this incredible temple. So the temple was built. It was definitely one of the, when Devi talked about moment by moment guidance that can come, that temple was one of our moments in Assisi, that our openness to doing something that cost far more than we were even close to being able to pay for. But the money was earned and the money was donated and it was built. And it drew so many new people, even from the area, to come and experience the light, the joy, the music, Swami's music, the teachings, all of what we have to offer. More and more people were coming to experience this. And it was a time of much outreach. You know, there are patterns with our different communities and our areas of Ananda formation. We also ended up going out a lot within Italy to people who invited us, to Russia, to England. Holland was a big area, Spain, Croatia, Serbia. There were many countries within the European framework that were hungry for these teachings. And that was one of the points that I wanted to make about Swamiji and how he would respond to where the need was, both the need and the desire. Because there could be a great need somewhere, and if people's hearts are not open, if they don't really want what is able to be giving, then it won't work. And so the temple was a symbol of the fact that Ananda was there to stay, that Ananda was there with the teachings, with the gurus, with Swamiji at times, and all of us to share the teachings and the light. And it was important because Swami used to come, and I think Narya would talk with him about what was happening in the area. Narya was our front man with the people who helped things to work in Italy. Thank you, Narya. And Swamiji would talk with him, and he would say something about the ragazzi, and Swami said, ragazzi? And yeah, the ragazzi, that was us. Ragazzi is sort of a way of saying the kids. And it was clear that there was still, you know, sort of a feeling in all of the farming area and the towns around that these were sort of kids who had come with some strange thing that they were wanting to live and develop. And the temple helped to change that. Because people, even though when they walk in a Catholic nation and they walk through the doors and they see this, what is this? You know, people who didn't know, they saw Jesus there, but they didn't understand the rest of it. But it gave us a discussion point, an opportunity to share, an opportunity to really let them know who we were. And it was a very important time for us. So I'm going to finish very quickly with what we're doing now. You heard a little bit yesterday from our new wave. I would like to just talk about, again, the importance of being willing and to have that I will attitude, because recently when we had built Brindavan House and the house was dedicated as a community house, and Swami was there, and as soon as the dedication was finished, we were outside, and he turned and he said, "And that land over there, when are we going to have that land?" He was not willing to let us be complacent about the fact that we had bought our first house that was ours, that we could develop. He wanted to see, and I sensed that he finally felt, because he had told us when we were staying in Italy, and we were going to do a work in Assisi, focus on a guest retreat. You need to build the base. People need to know these teachings. At this point, when he had just dedicated this building, and he was saying, "What about that land?" He was looking at community. He knew we had built in 15 or 20 years a community in the most important sense, the people. There were people who were committed, who were living the teachings, who were absolutely planning to stay. And most of the houses were rented. And so he's saying, "What about this land?" And I know that he was seeing, and it's our job now to tune into what he was seeing and what Master is seeing for us as a residential community in our own homes. The rent that we pay on the, which is a lot on all the houses that we rent in order to have housing for our people, we will be able to pay off loans, to be able to have loans for houses and pay those off. And we want to build asking Master, "What do you want us to do?" You know, not my desire for a house, or my desire for this, or my desire for that. We have these bracelets made. They say, what would Swamiji do? What would Master do? And we have them to, it was one of the New Wave's thoughts for how to keep us conscious. And so we need to ask ourselves, as we're building this community, what would Master want? What would Swami want us to do, to not just for ourselves? I know Swamiji wants that for us, but he knows that a working community like the village here, and it's so good that you all have come to be able to see it, it's a model. It's a living energy and example for what happens when you dedicate your life to God. We've seen it here with Jyotish and Devi, speaking with the speakers from yesterday. It is so amazing what happens when you live a life dedicated to God. What can happen? And that's what we want to do in Assisi. In addition to that, we have, before the land became available, we had the Temple of Joy, which we had to build because our Temple of Light, after how many years has it been, 20 years, was too small. It will not hold us all, as you guys are finding out too. It would not hold us all for events, and it wasn't enough classroom space for all of the courses that we're offering, for everything that people are coming to learn about living a life dedicated to God. And so we're doing two things, and they're a big, big challenge. And it's wonderful, again, for all of our new wave people and others to be here to see and hear and experience what is possible when you don't set limits, when your mind doesn't say it's not possible. And our temple and our community are coming up, and we know that they will both manifest with the help of all of those who are there and those who are yet to come. And their one purpose in coming is to be a part of spreading the light, of sharing the light, of being able to live in the light so that they themselves can grow and they can help others to grow as well. And I would like to mention, I mean, there are several other Ananda Italy communities that are coming up. And some of them are here, and we're so happy that they're also able to experience, because they're going to be little colonies of Ananda World Brotherhood as well. And little or big, they're all important. And each one has something to offer. Every community is different, and as we build more communities in Europe, they will each express in a different way, Master, because they're all going to be asking, Master, what do you want us to do?
Good morning, friends. Namaste. Aapka swagat hai. That means welcome. It's a joy to share with you today about Ananda India. When we first went there, Swamiji had the thought to spread Master's name and his teachings all around India. And many of you here that I'm looking at have been there to help. I want to thank Jyotish and Deviji for their help and their guidance there. I want to thank Kartikanji, Pia, and Daljeet for helping to make the work so strong, and all of you who, many of you, have in one way or another helped to build this great work of Ananda India that started in 2003. When I first came to Ananda, Swamiji saw me and he asked me my name, I told him, and then he said right away, this is your home. You should think about living here. He welcomed me, and that was exactly what he did with all of us here, and that's what he did at Ananda in India. He went there as the only living disciple of Master who was teaching in India, and he welcomed Master's children home. He said, these are your gurus. This is the path. These are the techniques that our guru brought. And here's some of your guru buys. And we have come for you. And when Swamiji went there, he said that he wanted to teach, have Master's teachings out of Kriya, of Ananda Yoga, of all the different things we have here, of affirmations, of chanting. He also wanted to start centers. He wanted communities, monasteries. Many of these we have already. And he said, we can't just teach meditation in India. We need to help people. We need to help the poor. We need to have orphanages. We can have places that help the elderly, we can have schools. He had a big, long list. And we, like with Master, with Dr. Lewis, when Master said, Doctor, it's going to be big. And Master was sitting in the YMCA, and he, very humble dwellings, and Dr. Lewis looked around and he said, wow, how is that going to happen? And Master said, but Doctor, it's going to be big. And Swamiji was saying to us, this is going to be big. And we were there, 40 of us at the beginning, Westerners who didn't know much about India, most of us, but Swamiji said, you're a disciple of Master, speak on his behalf. And so there we were, and Swamiji spent some of the last 10 years of his life there in India. And when we first went, he said, let's get out, let's teach, let's get out, let's not just stay here. And so there we were. Many of us were traveling around and teaching. I'll go into that a little bit later. But you may wonder, why did we go to India? Because India is spiritually wealthy. There's yogis in Himalayan caves, there's yogis that are roaming by the Ganges, there's pranayama, there's yoga, there's meditation, there's kriya, there's everything there. India is our spiritual home. But we went there because of that. We went there to spread Master's teachings everywhere, to everyone, to bring them, you could say, out of the Himalayan caves, to bring them into the cities, to bring them out of the people roaming by the Ganges, to bring them out to people in the cities. And so there we were, in Delhi, in Gurgaon, in Mumbai, in Bangalore, in Chennai, in all the cities. And there we were, bringing the teachings to people of all backgrounds, people young, people old, people everywhere. Swamiji said, get out, share, not just the teachings, but share the vibrations of Master. And so there we were out there, like these wonderful souls have spoken of in the beginning of that work. And I remember so many times being there with many wonderful friends and wonderful people who welcomed us into their homes and welcomed us to do programs and all. But there we were in the cities. And you think about it, we brought the teachings into the midst of the stressful life of India, out of the Himalayas. Like Babaji said to Lahiri Mahashaya, go back to your family, back to your home, back to your job, back into the city. And that's where we were, in Delhi, with the heat. It was 115 degrees there before I came over here. Think about the crowds. Think about the traffic. Think about the stress that people were living and that are living in the cities. And I remember when I first went there, I was in the early days, I was on a bicycle rickshaw. I was going somewhere. That's how we traveled, some of us then, remember that, Dharmadas? And someone next to me was in a very nice luxury car. This was in Gurgaon 15 years back. And then I looked over, and the traffic was always going like this. And then I looked over next to the car, and there was someone on a camel. And I went, oh, my God. And then we went down the road a little bit, and there was an elephant. And I thought, now this is going to be very interesting traffic here, a very interesting ride. And so there we were, and we were bringing the teachings to the people in the cities. We weren't just leaving it to the yogis in the Himalayas. And I read recently that even our Prime Minister Modi, he meditates. He meditated in a holy cave in Kedarnath for 15 hours, wasn't it? And recently, and also Rajnikant, he's one of the most famous stars, film stars in India. He produced a movie about Babaji, and he's a Kriya Yogi. And Virat Kohli, who's the captain of the cricket team in India, he had on his Facebook page, Autobiography of a Yogi. I love this book. And so in India, there's interest. And so what did we do? Well, from the very beginning, Swamiji was the magnet. He was there for those long 10 years. And Swamiji, first of all, he went out as much as he could, but he would teach. Now, what would he teach? He talked about Master, Master's life. What was it like to be with him? Who was he? No one had ever heard these stories about Master. But Swamiji said these were his teachings. This was what he was like to live with him. This was what he was during my time with him. So Swamiji taught. And then Swamiji made hundreds of videos on Conversations with Yogananda, the book, and the Bhagavad Gita. Swamiji was on television every day for years and years, talking about the Bhagavad Gita and Conversations with Yogananda. And people watched that, many thousands. I remember Kartikeyanji would introduce Swamiji at all the talks. Now he introduces Jyotishin Deviji. And I remember Swamiji came out. I mean, there'd be 1,500, 2,000, 3,000 people, thousands of people. And Swamiji came out at one talk, and he looked, and he said to Jayaji, he says, "Now this is a good turnout." I mean, I mean, India, good turnout is thousands, not hundreds, and so this is a good turnout. But people loved being with him, being blessed by him, being around a direct disciple of Master. This was big in India. And so then Swamiji had the television programs, and then his books got out. All the books that Sangeeta's putting out, she got many, of course, from here. But they showed how to bring the teachings into daily life. Because people told us at the beginning, "I've read the autobiography, but I don't know how to utilize it. Does it relate to me? Does it relate to my life?" And I remember many people said, "Well, I'm too young to practice yoga. I'll wait till I'm old." And then some said, "Well, I've got my job and my responsibilities. I'll wait till I'm retired." And then, "Well, I've got my family. I'll wait till my kids grow up." And then they said, "Well, no, I'm too old. I'll wait till my next life." I said, "Yeah." So then we said to them, "Come on, eventually, why not now? Do it now." And so then some of us, after Swamiji and his books and everything got out, then he sent us out. So I'm looking out at many of the people who were on those tours, Dharma Das and Jamal and Hari Das and Jayaji, of course, Jyotishin Deviji, and many people were out. Swamiji would bless us and he would send us out. And what did we give? The teachings. People said, "This is Yoganandaji's teachings?" Yes, this is what he taught, energization. He taught meditation, hamsa, kriya yoga. This is what he taught. And they went, "Really? I never knew what he taught. I just read his book." And so we taught the steps towards kriya yoga. And they were very advanced. I mean, I'd be saying, "Now let me show you how to sit." And then I'd look down and they were all in the full lotus. I was like, "I don't need to show you how to sit." Then Val said, "Now let's talk about Kachari Mudra. I already do that." You know, I said, "Oh." No, and the questions were like, what do I do when I go breathless? That's it. So we went out and we shared the teachings, and it was so wonderful that we had an organized system. This is how you learn the teachings. This is how you practice. This takes you to freedom, to liberation. And to be with such great souls who already were halfway there was such a blessing. So we did that. And then they were able to see from our example how you live the teachings. In the very beginning, we didn't know anybody. So we would go out on our own. I'm looking at Dharmadasi smiling very big here. We go out on our own and we go to a hall. And we'd set up the chairs. I was setting up chairs here the other day, by the way. We set up the chairs, we'd set up the altar, we set up the registration table, we'd set up the book table. And I remember many of the classes, I mean, many of the names at the registration, I did the registration, there were the very long South Indian names. A.K. Subramaniam. I would say, "Oh my God, can you spell that out?" And then I remember we didn't have a lot of funds at that time, and So then, I really bow it to Dharma Das because he gave so many of those talks, and this microphone is great. But the microphones very often were not good. So Dharma Das would be saying, and now I'm going to tell you about Raja Yoga. So, no. And Swamiji said, and I just thought, nobody's going to come back. 250 people would come back the next day for the class. They all came back. And then we would be doing the book table. So Jai would be on the book table, and I'd go over and say, selling the books, by the way. I said, Jai, is because we didn't have any help. We didn't know anybody. So I said, Jai, now it's time for the class. He said, really? I said, Jai, you've got to get up there. He'd get up there. Now, Patanjali said, and I said, wow, how can he make that bridge so fast? Or the Gita says, right from selling the books to talking about Patanjali, this was yoga in daily life. Everybody could see, wow, that guy is centered. Dharma Das, wow, he's centered if he can keep talking. And then, then somebody asked Jaya, asked him, we have many question and answer sessions, and someone says, well, what powers do you have? I was glad they didn't ask me. So Jai says, well, I don't think I have any powers. And he doesn't have any powers. So then he says, well, I might have one power, to be happy at will. Silence. No more questions. Happy at will. How many people do you know? Really? And then, after the talk was over, then we'd, you know, take down the books and pack up the truck, and, you know, we just did whatever. So I remember a man said, because I was on the panel, and he says, now, Dhyanaji, I know you're not going to be packing up that truck. I said, just watch me. And then he started packing as well. So people were learning. And then from there, the centers began. More and more people came, and then centers developed. And I remember all the help came then from the centers. And I remember being at the Chennai Center, and they were setting up. It's such a beautiful center they have. They were setting up for the class. The choir was practicing, and more people were coming. And I remember Brahmachari Vinit and Prasanna, they were there. And it was like 11 o'clock at night. And I said, now, what time do you people go home? I said, what do you mean? This is our home. And I said, right. It's great. And they just began to take on the responsibility to do everything. It started to be that, no, you can't do anything now. I said, wow, really? I said, we're doing everything. And people started doing the healing prayers. They started singing in the choir. People started translating the books. People took yoga teacher training. There's 75 yoga teachers trained now. People took meditation teacher training. There's 150 teachers going around India teaching meditation now. So people really just got into the whole family. The other thing that we offer was family feeling. Ananda's a family. Master has a family. This feeling of community. People started moving nearby the centers. And that was the community. People started leaving their jobs. No, I want to do this full time now. Many people who are here have left their jobs to work full time with Ananda. So to close, I'll say that this work, India was just waiting. It was just waiting for this to happen. We met a man who, he had come with Swamiji, come to see Swamiji in the 50s. Swamiji was in India in the late 50s, and this man came with his father. So he was like 12 or something. And the man, his father asked Swamiji for Kriya, and Swamiji says, okay. And the little boy says, well, what about me? And he says, no, Swamiji says, no, you wait a little while. And who do we meet in 2000, and when I came in 2005, but this man who was the 12-year-old boy. He is sitting across the table from Swamiji, and he says, "Do you remember who I am?" And Swamiji looks at him, he says, "I was the 12-year-old boy who wanted to get Kriya from you. Do you remember? I waited all these years, 45 years, for you to come back." And Swamiji said, "I waited too." Isn't that beautiful? I waited too. So people were waiting for this wave of energy to come back into India. And finally, this girl, she's 18, she, at the age of 8, had Master came to her in her bedroom. This was in India, and we're near where we are living. And she, the night before that, had come up for a blessing at the altar, with other ones of the little children whose parents had taken discipleship. Just 8 years old, and she came. And I love it. All these little children who were around Swamiji, now they're preparing for Kriya. They were just with him. There's one little boy, 4 years. He was 4 years old. There's a picture of Swamiji blessing him. Now he just took Kriya, and he said that I talked to him individually. I said, "Now why did you keep coming? You had to come for 9-10 months of classes." He said, "Oh, I liked it." And I said, "Now why are you still doing it?" He said, "Yeah, I like it." And then he had a cricket match the day after he took Kriya. I love this balanced life. And so then he said, I said, "Well, did you do your Kriya?" It was like the next day. So yeah, I got up at 4:30 in the morning because my match was at 6:30. These people are serious. And that guy's practically running Gorgon now, by the way. So anyway, this young girl, she said to me the day after she had had the blessing, she said in the middle of the night that she just looked, she woke up and she looked towards the door, and she said, I confirmed this with her before I came here, she said it was kind of like a silhouette. Just, I saw Master there standing. He said that his face was like, the last smile. And he was just looking at me, and I said, "Well, I wanted to be sure, I said, "Well, what did you do after that?" She says, "I was so afraid. I pulled the covers over my head. I didn't want to see him." I said, "You must have really seen him." But that smile of Master, that is in a confirmation. He's there. And Swamiji often told us, it's not my work, it's not your work. It's Babaji and Master's work. They're guiding this work. We follow what they're saying. And also, they guided Swamiji all those years. And at the end of Swamiji's time in India, I have to say, when he left India the last time, he was very pleased. He was pleased with all of you who had come. He was pleased with the energy, with the enthusiasm, with the work. He was pleased with the people making a commitment. And I felt that Master surely was working through Swamiji. Remember, I'll end with this, that Swamiji was very unwell his last years. You all know that. And he still was coming to India and serving in India and teaching. He had an India-wide tour. Was the last thing he did in India. He went all throughout India, all the major cities, to Bangalore, Mumbai, and I don't remember all the different places, but these are all the places we have centers in Pune and all throughout the national capital region, and he went everywhere. And then I remember Jayaji told this story that Swamiji called and said, "Well, I'm just so unwell. I don't think I can make it." And that was many times. Swamiji was so unwell, but he kept those appointments. And so he called and said, Swamiji said, "Do you think you all can handle it without me? Because I just don't think I can come." And Jayaji said, "Okay, Swamiji, sure, we'll be fine, and we'll take care of everything." And so we were talking about what to do, and within 5 minutes, Swamiji, he calls back or he writes back, he says, "I'm coming." And that was the energy he had. And he's still coming. He's still in charge of that work. He's in charge of all the centers, all the work. We'll be sharing with you about our expanded work in Brindaban, where we're helping thousands of widows who are poor, begging on the streets. We'll talk about our other work of expanding the work to people beyond those who want to take Kriya in the new institute. Swamiji's, these are his ideas. It's his inspiration, it's his energy. And I think now, looking out and listening to all the talks, it's also his joy. God bless you. Please stand. Please stand. From all of us here, let us feel Swamiji near and dear in our hearts. Masters, energy, all the gurus behind this great work around the globe, which they have started, which they maintain, and which we all serve. Let us visualize a great light going around this planet, reaching many more souls, millions, with this teaching. Of the great masters. Let's rub our hands together. Feel united in the light and the blessings flowing out from us, going out to the world. Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. God bless you all. And there's lunch being served now. Have a wonderful day.